Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gabra.io, and I'm here today with Greg Scott, the founder and CEO of Service Robotics and Technologies. Good afternoon, Greg. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Mark. Thanks for having me today.
Well, thanks for joining us today. Show everyone, you know, pull up the shirt so we can all see your symbol there. There we go.
Got my logo going.
I like that. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure, be happy to. So I actually got my dream job straight out of college. I got to work for NASA's Mission Control Center. I got to launch the space shuttle from Houston, Texas. So every geeky kid's childhood dream come true, right? It was a pretty intense experience. I spent a handful of years down there. Left in 2003 after the Columbia accident. I had an opportunity to do my PhD in space robotics at University of Surrey, just outside of London. Moved overseas, did that for a few years. And when I finished, I was headhunted by the US Navy to work at the Naval Research Lab in Washington, DC, and was able to build a research portfolio around robotics in extreme environments. So looking at deep sea robotics, space robotics, ground systems out in the field to support the warfighter, and a lot of interesting research and really cool tech that came out of that job for sure.
Wow, that's quite a varied background. And where did you go to college that you went to NASA right out of school?
Yeah, I did my undergrad at Penn State. So that was an exciting experience, and majored in aerospace engineering and had a leadership development minor as well. And then while I was at NASA down in Houston, I did my master's degree in space architecture at the University of Houston.
Very cool. So tell us about Service Robotics and Technologies. What is it that you actually do? Who's your typical customer? What do you do for them?
Great. Yeah. So SRT, we basically built a mission control center for smart buildings. And yes, pun intended. What we've built is a software platform that allows facility managers to monitor, analyze, and automate actions across their entire building. And whether that's integrations and data management into the building automation platform, which might control the power, the HVAC, the lighting controllers, or whether that's individual IoT devices like soap or sanitizer dispensers in bathrooms or occupancy sensors or weather stations around a facility, or whether that's your service robots, the custodial systems that mop or vacuum the floors, or the delivery systems or concierge or security platforms. We pull all those different platforms, data systems into one single ecosystem. We give that high level perspective to senior executive leadership, custodial facility operational managers and directors, so they can optimize their workflow.
Very interesting. You've done some really cool stuff. And do you like concentrate on a specific vertical? Because I can think of applications in the hotel industry, any type of building, you know, office building, sports arenas, all those things. So do you have a specific vertical you specialize in?
Yeah, so right now we have a strong focus in the Department of Defense. We have a couple of contracts with the US Navy, actually unrelated to my time there. But we understand from my background and other members of the team kind of how the defense procurement system works. So we have some contracts in the Department of Defense. And then on a commercial side, we're looking primarily in higher education, commercial real estate, like office space management, and construction.
Mm. Wow. And so how long have you been in business, your company?
So we were founded in 2013 while I was still working with the Navy. I wasn't allowed to, when I founded the company, wasn't allowed to do anything that might compete with what we do in the Navy. So I picked, we really had some ideas and bounced them around, but the service robotics and custodial industry really seemed like it was ripe for innovation. My wife likes to joke how going from NASA to the custodial industry might be the opposite way that dreams work. But at the end of the day, the massive tech void and the custodial space really showed this opportunity to us. And then we've expanded from custodial into some of these other smart building type areas as well.
Wow, that's really cool. And you're basically a software service provider, correct?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So we do a little bit of upfront services to build some customization to our core platform. And then we have a kind of a recurring data management component where we build up dashboards and manage the data and create new integrations for our customers.
And do you provide the people that monitor the systems, or do you generally turn that over to the owner of the building or the, whoever the utility of the building?
So yeah, so that's a great question. And actually right now we are exclusively the software developer and the integrator, and we provide that dashboard and that data management platform back to the end user. We definitely see an opportunity to provide managed services on top of that. We're not quite there yet, but that's a direction that we are looking to go in the long term.
Interesting. So it seems to me like someone could literally manage a building in New York from San Francisco, say, correct?
Yeah, and especially the building service contractor companies, the facility management companies that really offer that as a service, you know, they're managing tens, hundreds, and in some cases, thousands of buildings all over the world. Mm. And being able to pull a lot of that management and oversight into consolidated locations, sure, you're still going to have to send a plumber or an electrician or custodian or what have you to actually deal with some of the problems. But to be able to centralize that management actually allows these companies to save a lot of money from not having distributed management groups in all sorts of parts of the country.
Yeah, I mean, just let alone, and then the management of the distributed management groups itself is another, right?
Absolutely. And it really does come back to this mission control center approach, which is somewhat cheesy for me to say, but at the end of the day, it's highly complex ecosystems of data consolidated with a small team of folk that may have each have their specialties, but they're able to really see across their entire, the entire ecosystem of data and the entire campus, city, or collection of buildings that they manage.
It's interesting. You worked on something where mission control for something that went very far away to mission control for something that never moves, right?
That never moves. That's exactly right.
Which one's harder, just out of curiosity?
Well, so far, you know, to be honest, so far it's the buildings. Mm-hmm. I mean, the shuttle program was pretty intense. It was, I think the way that they say it was designed in the 70s. Built in the 80s on 70s technologies and then operated without much change from the 90s. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of complexity, a lot of time that was put into that system, but it was all built by the same group of contractors with the same plans that they were all working off of the same common goal. The buildings today, whether it's new construction or retrofit, commercial facilities have platforms from all sorts of different manufacturers who never talked to each other as part of the process, often never even saw the design plans for the building, and are just told, here's your little niche point, put your building automation platform here, put your lighting controller here. They don't ever interact, not physically, and certainly not through data either. And that's kind of the niche that we hold and what we've built up to be able to support that really disparate, I guess is the right word, building technology.
And have you thought of putting like a spec out that for companies to adhere to? Because that does eventually happen in a lot of industries.
Absolutely. Yeah. Building out a standard is certainly on our roadmap. We sit on a number of standards committees from IoT to service robotics to building automation, because we want to make sure we're right on the forefront of how those standards are evolving. And then through some patents that we've recently gotten and some steps in that direction, we'll be building out a standard that other people can kind of conform to should they desire to kind of be plug and play in our platform over time.
Interesting. So, I mean, just you make it so people can manage from anywhere. What about your staff? Are they all over or are they located in one spot, or how do you do that?
You know, it's funny you say, because we are providing that infrastructure for people who manage buildings to manage it from anywhere. And our team at one point was pretty consolidated in one area a few years ago. But right now, I was actually before our call looking kind of at our stats. About a third of our team is located in Washington, D.C. area. About a third of our team is in Salt Lake City, which is where I am at the moment. And the other third of the team is kind of all over the place. You know, somebody's in Seattle and somebody's in Phoenix. But what's great about being a pure software company is that even those team members who are all in DC, and many of our programming team is in DC together, they don't really cross paths physically very often. Everything is remote. So our team has been able to evolve into that. Even before COVID, we had the office, but we'd get together every couple of weeks. You know, we didn't tend to go in regularly. And maybe there's a bit of a stereotype for the developers that would rather stay at home in their pajamas and work in the middle of the night. Maybe not. but at the end of the day, you know, we as a company want to provide the culture that allows people to work where they can thrive the most. And certainly as a software team, There are some times when we've got to interface with a specific piece of hardware in our lab, but for the most part, the team is able to work remotely.
Well, cool. And do you foresee, like, do you still have that office space in DC, or have you ended that lease?
No, we still have the lease, and it's a small office. So we have more people in the DC area than could actually work from the office. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we have that physical location for registration for a few of those things, but also we do have some hardware. We need to take delivery of a server. We need to then configure it for a week or two with some other hardware. So we do have some in-house personnel, not in-house personnel, but personnel who will spend time in the office. But it's kind of like a day this week, a day a week or two later. It doesn't tend to be a regular basis.
So you're basically a remote company with just a PO box,
a big PO box. We do have a 600-pound server arriving on Monday. We're trying to figure out how to deal with that. But for those exceptions, everything else is remote, and we're able to manage the team that way. And trying to figure out, we're still learning, of course. I mean, as every small business does, but we're still learning how to use certain tools and certain processes and reporting infrastructure so that. That everybody's on the same page as we're moving forward, because you don't get those water cooler chats anymore, right? So it's been a great experience though for us.
And I think going forward, my gut feeling is, knowing what you do, there's going to be more demand for what you do, because this is, you're kind of in a not an infant industry, but a upcoming industry.
So it really is. I mean, there's a lot of talk today. I mean, heck, we even saw it in the Colonial Pipeline this week that got hacked by some cyber criminals. That facility has some automation to it. Mm-hmm. Really not very secure automation, and hence the problem they had. But that's really a piece that that applies in your pipelines, in your commercial facilities, in your warehouses. I mean, there is exceptional amounts of technology and automation, especially for remote monitoring and remote work. COVID's amplified that for sure. Mm-hmm. But even pre-COVID, there's been a strong push to automate a lot of these processes, get more data out of the facility, because people want to be able to work remotely to manage those sites.
Yeah, true. So, well, Greg, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been fascinating talking to you. This is I could probably talk to you for hours, but I know it's getting to be 5 o'clock where you are. So we'll let you get on with your family. So have a great night and have a great weekend.
Mark, thank you so much for your time. It's been great chatting with you.
Yeah. Hold on.